remember in the summer of 2011, there was a deal that was made, and it exchanged an increase in the debt ceiling of about over $2 trillion in exchange for some budget caps and end cuts that would be activated in 2013 that would cut across the board with some heavy weight on defense. Remember, we got this in exchange for increasing the debt ceiling, and since then we have increased the debt ceiling. Again, we've had to increase the borrowing authority. And this is the one victory that we conservatives have had, the only victory we've had in a long time. And now, for no apparent reason, and really it's unnecessary, there is this deal that Chairman Ryan, a Republican, the chairman of the Budget Committee, is making with Chairman Murray, who is a Democrat on the Senate Budget Committee, and we would basically get nothing in exchange for busting the caps that we've worked so hard for. And
so what are we trying to get?
Spending. Well, nothing. That's the thing. It's like, I think there is somewhat of a consensus that in exchange for real, real entitlement reform, you know, there may be a case to be made that that we could get rid of the sequester cuts, because the truth of the matter is that these are it's a victory, as I said, but there it's not ideal. I mean, all the weight of the cuts are on the side that matters the least. It's not on the explosion that we're going to face of Medicare, Social Security, Medicaid, and Obamacare. So in a sense, there are cuts. We're happy with that. We think that cuts, you know, should apply all over the budget, but it would be better if they were on other side. And so if there were a deal that said, okay, let's get rid of these cuts, but in exchange, we would get a significant reform of what are the drivers of our future debt, we'd be okay with that. But that deal doesn't have any of that. In fact, not only do we get nothing that we want of significance on the entitlement side of the budget, but on top of that, they exchange it with kind of a patchwork of like insignificant cuts and some tax increases.
On who?
So for instance, like fee for travelers to go fund the TSA, the Transportation Security Administration, at a time where a lot of conservatives and even on the left, people are vocal about the fact that it is not doing a good job at screening passengers, and it should be privatized.
Well, we've been there before with Wagon Hut.
Yeah, we have, and this is why we need to fight really hard, especially considering that, you know, I mean, we're in a very difficult situation because 10 years, 15 years ago, when Republicans were squishy, were caving on fiscal issues, were growing spending like crazy, right? We thought we had some time to turn around before the inevitable explosion of spending was upon us. We don't have time anymore.
Well, let's look at it this way. When we go through the spending cuts, now where do we go? I mean, they're not bringing back jobs. They're not stimulating the economy. So where do we go?
Well, where we go is we need to continue fighting for a smaller level of government. We need to continue fighting for future generations and for the growth of the economy, and that means basically keeping under control the explosion of spending on entitlement, on you know, Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, and Obamacare, that is really where the battle is. In particular, healthcare explosion spending on the government front, that is where our battle should be. But we don't.
But it's not. So what are you saying? I mean, you know, Paul Ryan talks a good game, but it looks like when it comes time to deliver, he falls down.
I agree. I agree.
You know, he was the guy during the campaign who was, you know, talking all this great stuff about the budget and how he's going to balance the budget as vice president. And you're saying that he's giving away the store, which is very alarming to me.
Actually, if you had paid attention to what he was really saying during the campaign, he was already laying the grounds for not touching, for not reforming Medicare. Don't you remember his convention speech where he was blaming Obama for Medicare cuts? I think this is a real problem for Republicans. I think the political will, I think there is a clear understanding that something needs to be done. I don't know that I think there's no political will, and there's a real fear of actually putting forth right now a proposal. And this is why fiscal conservatives, whether like they're libertarian and Republicans, need to put some pressure on them and say, this is important. This is really important. You cannot not do anything on this issue.
But it's already a done deal, right? And it looks like they're talking success on the budget. So, I have seen the scene, though. I have been keeping up with it that much, where they talked about keeping that there was a budget successful deal done.
Well, I don't know whether it's a done deal. First, there are two things that need to happen. They need to come to a compromise. I think they have an outline, and I think at least Ryan and Murray are confident enough to say that they have something. But then what needs to happen is they need to have the support of their party, right? And the question is it going to pass the House? Are Republicans in the House are going to go along with a deal that does not give us anything we want, but at the same time, surrender completely, uselessly, on our only victory on this.
Well, do you think this is something that's going to be good for the American people? It's going to be good for the economy. I mean, why is Ryan rolling over so readily on this major victory that you say that we supposedly have gotten as Republicans?
Oh, if I got a dollar each time someone asked me why I think a politician is doing what he is doing, I would be very rich right now. Unfortunately, I really don't have the answer. I don't know what his intentions are. I think there's part of this that's kind of like fight fatigue, and where they think that making a deal is kind of a way to, just like bury the weapon for a little while. Unfortunately, I think it's a disastrous tactic. And I've been joking that they're learning their moves from the French army, which, as you know, is very well known for surrendering. But I think it's a really bad tactic because, who is ever going to take Republicans' word seriously, right?
Well, Veronique, it's obvious that you're French. And I noticed that you'd gone to the Sorbonne. What was it like there? Just, spend like 30 seconds. Tell us what was that experience like. My daughter studied over there for a semester.
What it was like to be free market in a fairly socialist country. It was annoying enough that I decided I wanted to come and live among a people that had a better understanding of the importance of freedom and the power of individuals to decide for themselves
I ran into people over there who were on the government dole, and they call it something else over there. It's called the dole down in Australia and the dole in the UK. But this guy was explaining to me that there are only so many jobs in the country, so therefore those who can't find jobs are supported by those who have jobs. And he was just very clear about this. So I said, well, how long have you been on the dole? And he said, oh, about 30 years.
Yeah. Well, think about it this way. We've been in the fifth year of an extension of unemployment benefits in this country. So we are turning into France to some extent. It is true that there are people.
Well, more like Greece, I understand.
Greece is actually, unlike us, is a very poor country, and unlike France, So it means that Greece is going to be sinking way faster than we do, unfortunately.
Okay.
Like France, you know, this could go on at a miserable rate of growth for a very long time because this country is an extremely wealthy country. And because in spite of government, in spite of government just trying to tie the hands and get in the way of economic, of people producing things, I mean, this country is full of individuals who are tremendously entrepreneurial
and
who will fight.
All right. So look, we'll come right back. We got to take a quick break here. We'll be right back with Why
Paul. And the free and the home of the brave. This is the Rusty Humphrey Show.
Okay, we are live again, and it's Charles Butler sitting in for Rusty Humphreys at 800-449-8255, 800-449-8255. We have Miss Veroque Desrosiers with us, and we're talking about socialism versus capitalism, and Congressman Ryan, chairman of the House Budget Committee, kind of capitulating and accepting the Democratic Senate version of the budget without a fight. What do you think his contemporaries are going to do up on the Hill? Because they know this is not going to be good for them coming home. So do you think that the House is going to go along with Ryan's recommendation?
So here's, I think, one of the problems is that you have a lot of interest groups, including defense contractors, who have been extremely vocal about how these spending cuts are going to hurt them. The other thing is, like, on the Republican side, you have a lot of budget hoax, defense hoax, who think that these defense cuts are devastating to the defense budget and our national security. And I think that a lot of the Republicans are nervous about these cuts, and they are wondering, you know, they actually are believing that these cuts are actually really jeopardizing our national security. But it's not the case. I mean, anyone who actually looks at the data can see that these cuts are nowhere near draconian. In fact, there has already been a round of cuts, and they were the biggest that we will have had, that started on March 1st. And the economy, if you remember the Friday report, jobs report, the economy is actually growing in spite of all the prediction that the sky was going to fall. Profits for defense contractors are soaring. And I think there's a lot of evidence that that it won't be devastating to the economy. More importantly, when you look at the projected defense spending path, you see that it's growing. It's only those cuts that they're doing, they're basically slowing the rate of growth. I think that's where a lot of the fear comes from.
Okay. Well, that's good. That's good. Well, you know, I'm sure you're keeping an eye on it for us. Where can our listeners go and read some of your columns and your work?
I blog at The Corner at National Review. I'm the only one with a very French name, Véronique Desrosiers. And you can also look, I produce a lot of charts. And in particular, I have a chart coming up that shows the path of spending before and after the sequester cut, so people can actually get real information about this at the Mercatus Center at George Mason University.
Well, I'm going to have a gentleman on from George Mason, Walter Williams. He's going to be on the show Thursday with me.
Walter Williams is a hero for us freedom fighters, and he's been the chairman of the economic department for many, many, many years.
Well, he'll be on with me. Tell him that you had a good conversation with me when you see him.
I will definitely. Thank you so much for having me.